I forgot my mic was on. Yeah, relieve me of that. Hey, I got a couple more announcements, Kelsey. This is really cool because, you know, we always have to keep track of what God's doing in the church, right? And keep knowing that this is good and God's doing stuff. And so Barb was here with us Wednesday night, and Barb was talking about how, you know, at work she couldn't even walk to the copy machine and back without, you know, not being losing your breath. And we said, well, let's do what the Bible says. And so we got some oil, anointing oil. We anointed her with oil. We laid hands on her and we prayed for her. We said, Barb, take a deep breath. And she said, and she goes, I haven't been able to breathe like that in weeks. So what's the continuing of that? How's that going?
I am still breathing.
Oh.
Sorry.
All right. Power on. Just demonstrating.
Okay. I am still breathing very deeply. To our front desk, you have to go up about 6 steps.
Yeah.
I never went to the front desk. Bless her heart, she came down to me.
Oh, okay.
I walked up to the front desk, and she looked at me, and I said, do you hear me wheezing? And she said, no.
Yeah.
I said, well, they anointed me with oil Wednesday night and prayed over me, and I can breathe.
Amen. Praise God, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that is piggybacking on Randy and the food pantry. Tell us what happened with the lady at the food pantry.
Yeah. Well, you have such a good thing going in the food pantry. It's just amazing to watch. But the Lord has been healing a number of people there. And this last Friday, a few days ago, there was a woman that came up and was very excited to see us. And it turned out that a month before, we had prayed for her shoulder, and the pain completely went away, and she got full motion. But sometime between then and now, she was out doing yard work.
Yeah, well,
which is good, a good sign. But then she started moving around 30-pound bags of yard waste.
Which is awesome that she could do that.
Yeah.
But
She apparently re-injured her shoulder and went to the doctor, and the doctor offered to give her a shot. And she said, no, I'm going back and getting more prayer.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was amazing. So she came and prayed again, and the Lord healed it again.
So, did you tell her not to do any more 30-pound bags, or is that She got healed, and then she came back. That's so cool. At the doctor saying, "I can give you a cortisone shot, right?" No, I don't need it. I'll go back and get the prayer. That works. That is so cool, you guys. Isn't that cool that God's doing that? So we're gonna pray for Mark here today. Mark needs healing prayers. He's got a spot on his brain that they've done radiation on, and he's got a spot in his lung, and we're going to pray that God heal this man. Father God, we just pray for your healing right now for Mark. In the name of Jesus, all that you're doing here and in the ways that you're moving around in this church and what you're bringing forth, we pray, God, a healing over Mark Clemson in Jesus' name right now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. So that's what's happening here, guys. God is on the move, and it's fun, and we need to tell you because we want everyone's faith to rise. I don't need two of these. Faith rising up then makes it possible for other things to happen, and one can lead to another and to another and to another, and you start seeing, wow, God is actually doing this, and he's doing it on a regular basis, and this is what he does, and praise God. So Saturday, I was on a Zoom conference, for voting for the denomination. There were 28 churches that were seeking disaffiliation. We'd done all the things that were required to do that. The United Methodist denomination said if you have a matter of conscience that by which you feel you cannot be in this denomination any longer, we have a process for you to leave. And we followed the process. We actually followed that banner over there. Trust me and follow me, because we felt God was leading in this way. But there were so many things. And then finally, there's a vote that the conference has to take to ratify all the work that you've done. And they did. The vote was, you had to have 50%, and the vote was 465 in favor of us disaffiliating and 65 against. And so that's a pretty good margin. And so then I'm listening, and the bishop says, the majority of vote means that Bradley Epworth Church in Peoria, Bradley Epworth United Methodist Church in Peoria, is no longer affiliated with the United Methodist denomination. Boom. And I felt this weird mixture of emotion. I was like, am I sad? You know, am I grieving a little bit here? Or am I joyful for what God has done? And it was both. There was a mixture. And I could tell. I could lean one way or the other. You know how you feel? I could lean into that, or I could lean into this. I'm thrilled. I'm excited for God and for what he's doing. And look at, Oliver is here with us today. This is incredible. Yeah, woohoo. Is right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mommy. Like, how old is Oliver today?
Week and a half.
That's like what, 10 days?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. 10 days old. Lord, let's bless this little one. Fill him with your grace. Let the Spirit of God fall upon him right now. Just let him soak in the presence of God in this place and bless this mommy and daddy and his two big brothers. And we thank you for his big sister in heaven. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. So this is going to be a little different this morning. oh, you guys are still here. Hi. Hey, as long as you guys are up here, I'm going to stop at certain times. Can you fill in with a song? Can you do that? Okay, cool. All right. We're good. So I was in the sanctuary this week. And I was saying, you know, that I wanted these banners up in front because I wanted to talk about how God has been faithful to us and he's our hope going into the future, right? He's got us where we are. And there's a lot of those. Those are three pictures of I'll get to that. There are three churches that are represented in this church. Okay, so I was sitting here in the sanctuary and I was telling Chad and Daryl this and I was saying that. And I was saying, you know, the Great Commission is always our commission. And he says, well, there's a banner up for that. And he looked up, and I go, gosh, there is. And I started looking around, and I thought, my goodness, I think that my sermon has been written on the walls. You know, the writing on the walls was not a good thing in Daniel 5, but, you know, but it's the new covenant, and we can reverse that. We can do that. The writing's on the walls, you guys. And so I am going to go. You want to see my sermon notes? They're up there. These are my sermon notes, and as I get to each one, I'm going to tear it down. And no, I'm not. Roberta's like, don't you dare. You will see Roberta in action. Okay, so no, I'm going to go around, and I'm going to preach these, and then give you guys a chance to make a pause to kind of worship. And that's why Glenn and Aaron are still up there, to worship and bring into our hearts the truth of what God's doing and how he's doing it in this day. And I just think I'm terribly excited. But I also know that when I get terribly excited, sometimes it just doesn't come out right. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm so excited about this. And then everybody's looking at you going like, what? It's like, never mind. Okay, so, but the truth is, you guys, that that God has done an amazing thing, and I'm so excited about that in the new beginning and who we are and what God's got in store for us, and that he is leading us and he's guiding us and he's with us. And that's the main thing, right? And he's moving amongst us. We're seeing healings, and this is awesome. And what else do we have in store? Okay, so let's go back to how this all started. It all started with that writing right there, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." It all started with us taking time at the beginning of the year to stop in January of 2022, Days of Dedication, and say, God, what are you doing with Bradley Epworth? That's what we call it, the Days of Dedication. We try to shut down for at least 3 or 4 days and listen to God and meet in the evenings and pray and fast and say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And that gave birth to the other banner that's up there. "My house shall be called a house of prayer," led to us hearing there's something new that God is doing. And this scripture passage, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, came to us over and over again through multiple sources. "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Look, I'm doing something new. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Barb, coming back to Barb. Barb got that for us one night. Somebody else wrote in an email and gave that to us. Another email came into us. You opened up your devotional the next day, and that was the devotional of that day. And so we just kept getting this over and over and over again. So we made a banner, something new. Something new is going to happen. That was in 2022. Well, what we did not have at that time, the idea or the plan to disaffiliate with the denomination. That was not there in January of 2022. But as the very quickly after that, it started to come forth. It started to rise up. This is an option. Should we take this? What is going on? And we start praying into that. We start meeting and praying into that. And it's like, gosh, I think that God is saying that that's what he wants us to do. We need to follow this path, okay? We need to follow this path because we think that that's where God is taking us. All right. Now, so I just want to say what we have become is a non-denominational church, meaning that we are not connected to a denominational body. We are the body. We are the body of Christ. We are here as a church under the leadership and guidance of our church council, which is about 23 people who do different ministries in our church, and we come together. As of today, as of right now, they are the final decision-making, legal, official body of our church. I am under them. The church council can decide that I'm no longer the pastor. Okay? They couldn't do that before. The denomination said, you can't do that. You didn't hire him, you're not going to fire him. You have to have him. That's why many of you are saying, what in this is the deal? He's been here 34 years. And it's like, but now that's changed. And the church council is going to meet after church today. We're going to have a little bit light lunch. We're going to meet, and we're going to just spend about an hour. We're going to talk about the fact that, you know, if anything happens in the church, we don't have a denominational body to turn back to and say, hey, figure this out for us. The church council has to figure it out for us. Legally, they are the final decision-making body in our church. Hopefully, beyond legally, spiritually, Jesus is our shepherd, and he is the final decision-maker, and that he is speaking through, and we can feel that and sense that in the gathering of the community of people and their hearts as we discern what God wants and what's best for our church. So that's what has happened, and that's who we are, and that's what's going on here today. So now I want to turn to the banners. Well, we just already started. My house will be called a house of prayer. I'm going to do something new. And then I felt like when I looked up here, I felt like God was saying to me and to us, he was saying, look, you guys, I've been your help throughout all the ages. And look, these are three different church bodies. This one came from Main and High Street, and they relocated. They changed their location and their church building, and they formed a new congregation here. This church over on Bradley Avenue changed and came and is here. This church then later left Stanley Street and came, and those churches are represented here. Now, you may not see the people of those churches. There are still people from all those churches here in the sanctuary today. But you won't necessarily, oh, look at that. Awesome. I love technology. Oh, we've got it all going on. Okay. The dancing bear is coming in a minute. They're represented in the love for Jesus and the prayers and the praise and the investment and all of that. And it's like, this is a sign. This is writing on the wall. God's saying, I've been faithful to you. I have gotten you through all these things, and here you are, and now we're in a new stream. I've been faithful. Look at my, great is my faithfulness, not just to us as a church, but to all of us as individuals. Look, every single person in this room right now, every single one of you, Satan has been trying since the day you were born to take you out and keep you from this place, to keep you from Jesus, to keep you from faith. Look, every single one of us represents an incredible victory for God. Whether that was an incredible, dramatic conversion, or the steady faithfulness year after year, day after day, to keep saying yes? Here you are. Great. And you know, look, I know this room. I know the things that have happened in some of our lives. And I know what's been overcome. I know the things that could have taken you out. I know many of the things, right? But here you are, every single one representing that message. Oh God, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. If he's been that faithful, he's not stopping. He's been that faithful to our church to lead us through this, to get us to this place. He's not stopping. He's not like, okay, got that done. Oh no, he's just starting. And he's saying, everything I've done for you to keep you here, I've got more. I am your hope as we go forward. I am your hope. I am what you trust in. Each one of us as individuals. That's your hope. That we anchor our hope in the eternity even. My hope isn't in this world, you guys. I don't have hopes for this world. I mean, I hope that this world comes to Jesus. I mean, I have that. But my hope is built on Jesus. And his eternity and his return. That's what I'm hoping for. My heart's anchored. My heart is so anchored in the joy of his return. Oh my gosh, you guys. That's worth living for. And I can endure many things if my heart is anchored in the hope of who God will be for us in the years to come. So let's just pause for a moment and let's let that truth just kind of sink into our hearts.
Our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. A thousand ages in thy sight are like a short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. No God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou
that, you know, is like, I have got you to where you are. I will be there for you all the way. And I have given you a rock to stand on. I have given you truth. I have revealed truth. Now when we look at the Apostles' Creed, when we look at that as our truth, we think, well, we're a non-denominational church. What do we believe in? Well, our denomination is Christianity. We belong to the Christian church. And the Christian church, Christianity, historic Christianity, is built on this. It is built on the revelation of who God is. And every one of these statements in this creed, if you've ever seen the Apostles' Creed with little markers on it to connect it to Scripture and footnotes, and you see the Scripture, it would take three more columns of Scriptures for all that's in here, because this is just a summation of what the biblical revelation has been about who Jesus is. And we say, when I come to this, I'm not saying this is our truth. I'm not saying this is my truth. I am saying this is the truth. Now, that's a bold statement because that's not what we're used to. But I'm not saying that this is true for us. What I'm saying is there is an objective truth to the universe. What I'm saying is the universe is constructed in a certain way. What I'm saying is that all of creation will bow and bend to this, that in the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's going to happen. That's an objective reality. That's an objective truth. And everything that here has been revealed, not as a truth for you, but as the truth of existence. This is the truth. And so when we look at this, we're not like saying, well, that's good for me. You may not find that to be true, but that's true for me. No, This is the truth. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. What? Really? Is that true? Wait a minute. A man born of a virgin, how's that possible? How's that possible? Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, because the angel said what? All things are possible. Because look at the first sentence. I believe in God the Father. He's the one who made all this. He can create a baby in a womb. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. Whoa, wait, what? A dead man came alive again? That's an interesting truth that you people have. No, a dead man, a really dead man, really came back to life again and has never happened before or since. No other human being has done that. No other human being has performed the miracles that this man performed. No other human being has had the prophecies written that he fulfilled in his life. So if you take all the prophecies that he fulfilled, all the miracles that he did, born of a virgin, raised from the dead. This is the truth. This is the one. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's sitting there right now. A real person, guys, a real person is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there, he's going to come back as our judge. He will judge every human soul. That's not our truth. That's the truth. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. There's a real spirit. There's a real spirit that's in this room right now. Oh my gosh. And the Holy small c Catholic means universal, the whole church, all of the church that's ever been. This, we believe in the church of Jesus, which we are a part of as a non-denominational church. We are a part of this church, which is Baptist, Catholic, Orthodox, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Presbyterian. Throw another one out. It's in there. This is the church. This is Jesus's church. The communion, the unity, the communion, the gathering of all the saints, those who have gone before us, those who are with us now, those who are in the room right now. We are in communion with each other as Jesus's church. The forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting, our hope for years to come. Hallelujah and amen. And if they tell you, and if they tell me someday that it's like, well, you can't really say that's the truth. You have to say it's your truth. It's the truth. Here we make our stand. You guys, here we make our stand. We are a church of Jesus Christ. We are a Christian church. Denomination or not, we all have to come back to this. And we have to say, are we in this or not? Are we part of the historic Christian revelation or not? Do we embrace this wholeheartedly? Yes, we do. We believe it.
And I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection. When Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
This truth, dear ones, God just kept writing on the wall, and he said, because that's true, therefore go, okay? That's true, therefore, right? Go, engage, Therefore, that's true. Engage because the world needs to know that it's true. This isn't a truth that we can just say, well, some people got it and some people didn't. No, some people went to heaven and some people went to hell. And that's eternal. This isn't just a good, you know, a good idea. This is the difference between someone's eternal destiny. We're not trying to start a new philosophy, a new school, a new whatever. It's like, this is how the universe is constructed, folks. And you will be on one side of it or not, or the other or not. And he says, so therefore, you have a commission. You have a commission. What kind of church are we? A commissioned church. A commissioned church to be sent out to tell the world that there's an objective truth. And it's going to be your hope for years to come in your eternity. And he'll be with you through the ages. But you got to get this. And we're being told by God, boy, I'm going to get tired by the time this sermon is over. Because every time I add another banner, it's going to be, right? And it's like, but this is, go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey what? Teach obedience. Whose idea is that? That won't fly. You can't teach obedience. Oh, no, Jesus says, that's where we conform our will to his. That's where we start becoming like him. That's where we start finding the peace and the joy that we always knew was there, but we just couldn't get to it. It comes, believe it or not, through obeying everything I have commanded you. Everything? Yes. Everything. So we're commissioned. And this isn't just like I'm looking at David and I'm saying, Dave, you go out. Get, that's true. Go out and tell people. No, I'm saying, Dave, join with me. Okay? Join with me, Dave. Kelsey, would you, let's everybody, Rosh, everyone, let's make a team and be a body with all different parts and all different gifts and graces. And let's see how our gifts and graces can work together in such a way that we can actually reach somebody for Jesus. And we can bring them in, and we can pray over them. We can help them, right? There's going to be those who might invite. There might be that one then who convicts. There might be that one who brings a message. There might be that one who sings a song that touches a heart. There might be, someone who gives announcements, and they just say, I believe in Jesus all of a sudden. It's like, it's, it could happen, Kelsey. And, but it's like, how do we, Marita, do we have people to pray for them when they come? You see what I mean? Yeah, we are commissioned as a we. We are commissioned to go. Go, therefore, Bradley Epworth. And remember, Jesus is writing on the wall to us this message this morning. He says, I've been with you. I will be there for you. This is the truth. I am the truth. And here's your commission. Together as a team and do this, and surely I'm with you always. What? I'm with you? The presence. Oh my gosh, I gotta sit down for this. The presence. The weightiness of the presence. Do you know what that means to realize that Jesus is in this room right now? That we're just not talking about him? That he's like sitting here? He's going, okay. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to do this thing together. I'm here with you. In the presence, remember Moses in Exodus 33? He said, God, don't send us into the land without your presence. Because if your presence doesn't go with us, how will they distinguish us from all the other peoples on the earth? How will the world outside these walls distinguish us from any other group, any other philosophy, or any other idea? We're just another one, unless you walk into this room and you feel that there's something in here that doesn't have to do with the people doing what they do. It has to do with God, the presence. Which leads us to this banner over here, and this will be tricky, but this banner I didn't even see initially. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
How you doing? Okay, excuse me, pardon me. Excuse me, Matt. This banner I didn't even see. It's up there, too, if you don't want to twist. This banner I didn't even see, and then I saw it, and I thought, well, this is, why did Roberta put up that? That's Pentecost. Roberta, what were you thinking? And this is red. It's Pentecost season. It's got the big dove, But it said, I am with you. And then it says, abide in me. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be with you. But you guys, you have to stay with me. Stay with me. Hey, everyone, stay with me. Right? You know what that feels like? Teachers in the room, stay with me. Everybody, come on, look, eye connection, right? Jesus is saying, stay with me. But look at what the symbols are. The cross for Christ, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord. And he's saying, stay here. Stay, remain here. Keep this as your value. Keep this as your identity. Keep this as your hashtag. Whatever, you know, it's like, don't let go of this. I'm with you, but you've got to stay with me, and you will do it through the Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled. Thank you, Matt, Andrew, Josh, Paul, Steve. Okay, but look. Okay, come up to the front just so. Oh, wait, I got to get my coffee. So I'll change the message. I'm going just to get my coffee. Hi, everyone. Okay. But look at this, you guys. I am your help. I am your future. I am your hope. I am the truth, right? We're not introducing the world to have a relationship with a list of statements. We're asking the world to have a relationship with a person who claimed, I am the truth, right? That's what we have. That's what the go there for is. That's why he's going to be with us, and that's why we have to stay with him. But who? Who is this? Who is this? And I look up in the middle of the church, I think Kristen, wherever Kristen is, she was with us, and she looks up, and she goes, Jesus. And I thought, I didn't see that one. Jesus. You guys don't usually see that one, right, until you're leaving. And it's like, Jesus. That banner never changes, you guys. These banners always change, but that one never does. It's Jesus. And he's saying, don't forget who's with you. Don't forget who you're supposed to stay with. And you come over here and you go, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Master, Teacher, the Way, Emmanuel, Christ, Alpha, Omega, Wonderful Counselor, Cornerstone, Chief Cornerstone, the Gate, the Lamb of God, the Resurrection, the Life, the Bridegroom, the Good Shepherd, His Truth, the Prince of Peace, the Bright and Morning Star, the Bread of Life, the King of Kings, Savior, Messiah, Rock, Hope, Son of God, Rabbi, the Word, Beloved, Lord. That's who says, I'm with you. This is the one who's with us. He is in the room. Stay with Him. Stay with Him. Stay with Him.
And I will sing to
you, Jesus,
and worship the King who is worthy, and I will love Him, adore Him, and I will bow down before Him. You are Lord of lords. You are King. You are mighty God, Lord of everything. You're Emmanuel. You're the great I am. You're the Prince of Peace. Who is the Lamb? You're the living God. You're my saving grace. Of days, you are Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and friend. You're my Prince of Peace. I will live my life for you.
Will you? Will you? Because the next banner is, I'm the one who's here, and I'm the one I want you to stay in, but I need you to trust me. Like right now. Okay? Like right now. I need you to trust me and that trust. I need that trust to become manifested in you by your following me. And there's a path that I've laid out, and I can't tell where it goes. I never could. I've stared at this banner for a long time. I tried to figure out what is that up there. You know, and it's like, I don't know. All I know is that there's a path. And he says, follow me on this path. And it's like, okay, but where are we going? And he says, trust me. Do you know, last week when Daryl talked about Jesus and Peter going back and forth, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? And you know, and Jesus says, and Peter goes, well, what are you going to do with John over there? And he says, it's none of your business. And then he just looks at Jesus at the end of all that. He just looks at him and he says, or Jesus looks at Peter and he just says, Peter, follow me. And this incredible God who is with us and wants us to abide, he's speaking this. He wrote this message, remember? The writing's on the wall. He wrote this. And he put this on here because after we exalt him, he has a real serious question for us as a church and for us as individuals. Do you trust him? So that following him means conforming your life to him, conforming your life to what he's taught. Teach them everything. Teach them to obey everything. So the obedience of everything that Jesus has taught is how we follow him. Will you do that? What if they're saying, Jesus, I want to follow you, but gosh, I got all this stuff that I got. And he says, choose. Choose. Because I'm not stopping. I'm not going to stop here and wait for you. I'm asking you, will you follow me? And I keep walking while I ask that. It's not like Jesus is sitting around saying, figure it out. He's saying, here I am. I feel like that's a right now moment for us. So I'm going to stop and pray right here under this banner. All right? Jesus. Jesus. You're saying to us as a church, do you trust me? Then conform yourself to me and my truth and my way. And Jesus, I feel like you're saying that to each one of us in our hearts today. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Then follow me. I'm asking you right now. I'm walking through the room saying, trust, let your faith in me and your trust in me be seen by following me. Meaning, follow you into your teachings. Follow you into your way of living. Follow you into what you require of me. Follow you at the expense of anything else that's clinging on to me or that I want or like or that competes with you and my giving myself to you. Follow me by letting go and embracing me. Let your life conform to my truth and live that and trust that the one who has been with you throughout the ages will be with you in the years to come and will rejoice with you in the new kingdom forever. Follow me.